I want you to take your Bibles, if you would, please, this evening, and open up to 1 Thessalonians and chapter number 4 this evening. 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 4 in the Word of God tonight. As I look around the room, I don't see any visitors here with us, but if you're visiting with us tonight, once again, we do welcome you to the services. For those of you who are watching via live stream this evening, we do welcome you to the services once again. I'm going to say this as we find our place at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. We've been now looking at a subject entitled The Example Church. The Example Church. And this is an in-depth study that we have been going through here in the book of 1 Thessalonians, an expository manner, just moving verse by verse through the Word of God. We took a little bit of a break over the last several weeks, but tonight we're going to jump right back in to chapter number 4. So would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word tonight? 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. For those of you who are watching via live stream, we don't have our teenagers in here with us on Wednesday nights. They're up in our youth room, and then also our young kids are not in here on Wednesday evenings. They're spread out throughout the church and the gym, different classrooms, learning about their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the reason I say that for our folks that are watching via live stream, the subject tonight that we're going to be dealing with is somewhat of an adult subject. And so maybe preteens, if you're watching this evening, that would have to be up to a parent. But as I look around the congregation tonight, we're all adults in here. We're saved. We're bought with a price. We are Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And tonight we're going to be addressing some things that's going to be important for us to hear. And I've been praying all day and really through the last week that God would use this message. When I begin to compile this message, it's before Christmas, right at the end of November. I begin to go through these verses and going back to original languages and looking up and putting it in and looking in this and comparing it. Boy, compiling this, it just hit me all at once. This is going to be a deep subject and a little bit of a heavy. We're going to walk out of here a little bit heavy tonight. So I'm just preparing you. I'm warning you. Don't walk out. Don't get scared. Let's invite the Holy Spirit to meet with us tonight and to change where we need to change. And I'm thankful I don't have to come up with this content, that the Word of God gives it to us. And how many believe that the Word of God is preserved? Would you say amen? And that means it's for us living in 2022. And so I'm excited to dive in here tonight. Let's learn together. Let's change what we need to change. Let's pray that God would encourage us. Chapter 4, would you look with me at verse number 1? The Bible says this. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. This evening, looking at the subject of the example church, we're going to dive right into tonight. We've looked at a strong church, conversion, ministers. Chapter 3, we looked at Christians. We ended chapter number 3 with a strong faith. And tonight I want to look at the subject of a strong walk. And the example church, this evening I want to look at the subject of a strong walk. Let's go to our Savior in prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, for tonight. Lead, guide, and direct. Lord, we need you. Father, hide me behind the cross this evening. Give me the exact words that you have me to preach. Lord, help me to teach with compassion. But Lord, help me to preach with boldness. Father, I believe that everyone in this auditorium, we need to hear what is about to be preached. Is it easy? No. Father, is it popular? Absolutely not. But God, in the day and age which we live, we have to hear these things and heed to these warnings. We love you, Savior. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Here in chapter number 4, this really begins a major and somewhat of a new topic, or I guess we can put it this way, it really begins a new subject here in the book of 1 Thessalonians. The example church now begins to give this example of a strong walk. But if you think about those three words, a strong walk, we've often heard of that, but what exactly does that mean in the life of a Christian? What does it mean to have a strong walk? Well, generally speaking, it means that a Christian would live as God tells that Christian to live. they would heed to the word of God. And as God would say, live, then that's how you and I would live. If God commands not to do something, then you and I would not do that. If God commands you and I to do something, then you and I would do those things that God commands us to do. Six commandments in particular are going to be covered here. One in this passage, and then there's going to be five in the next passage. Moral purity is discussed first of all, and it's discussed really in great detail. And there's a lot of emphasis that goes into this first commandment. And I think that you and I would maybe ponder, scratch our head, or maybe even ask the question, Pastor, why is it that we would see that there would go into this great emphasis on this first commandment on morality, especially probably more emphasis given on one commandment than the other five commandments put together? Well, I believe the answer would be obvious down through the ages. You see, immorality is the rampaging monster that destroys more lives and more families and more nations, probably more than any other single evil. What God has to say here is very strong, and I believe that if pastors and preachers across our nations would begin to thunder this from our pulpit, we would begin to get away from the immorality or the moral bankruptcy that we are seeing in the United States of America. In a strong walk, I want us to first of all glean from and look at, first of all, an exhortation. An exhortation. Look with me at verse number 1 here in chapter number 4. Let's look at, first of all, number 1, an exhortation. Furthermore, the Bible says, then we beseech you. The word beseech here in our English language means to ask and or to request. It always, in our English language and here in the King James Bible, it always has this sense of urgency about it. It's beseeching, it's begging, it's this request. It's a very passionate ask. It says this, furthermore, we beseech you, now watch the wording here, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. You see, there is this beseeching, there's this asking, there is this encouragement to walk, to please God. And as we walk, and as we please God, there is this asking to do it more and more. You see, oftentimes you and I use the phrase that we walk with God. We have a walk with God. Oftentimes in the Word of God, we see the Christian life described as this. It is a walking with our Savior. Walking is a picture of moving forward. It's a progressive, step by step. It is a movement in a direction that would take place day by day. Now, let me put it this way. Now, watch. God is interested in every step that you and I take. If you agree with that, would you say amen tonight? That means this. God takes an interest in the life that you and I live. God is interested in the day-by-day ins and outs of Pastor Shepherd, of the Shepherd family, of your life, fill in the blank, of your personal life, whether you're a college student here tonight or whether you're a senior and you're retired. It does not matter what life stage you and I are in. God is interested in our life. And let me just put it this way. Don't you praise God that He is interested in the life of you and I? Didn't that make you happy? Amen tonight. What a God that you and I serve. And as He is going to judge you and I on the basis of how you and I live and walk, therefore the primary concern of our lives must be to please God. And if you and I walk to please God, then is our walk with Him, watch now, this is the gospel encompassed in you and I, is our walk growing? It says this in this passage of Scripture, walk to please God so ye would abound more and more. That means this, the life that you and I are living, who are you and I living for? The life that you and I are walking, the life that you and I live, the ins and outs of every day, who do you and I serve? Who you do you and I live to please? Is it just to please man? Is it just to please a boss or a manager? Is it just to please a standard? Is it just to please religion? Well, how do you and I live our life? Comprehend this. One day you and I will stand before Christ and you and I are going to give an account for the walk that we had down here on this earth. Therefore, if you and I are living this life just to please man, friend, we're never going to accomplish it. If you and I are living a life just to make somebody happy, let me put it this way, we're never going to make people happy. Therefore, you and I ought to live and walk daily for who and in who? It's for our Abba Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's walking in Him. That's why we cover the gospel before bed, and I have time to go here, but that's why we find our identity in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't find my identity in Baptists. I don't find my identity in you, and you don't find it in me. You don't find it in a pastor or a deacon. You don't find it in a Sunday school teacher. You don't find it in this building. You and I have been bought with a price. The precious blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you and I of all of our sin. Therefore, when you and I receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, you and I are sealed. We are His. How many are thankful for that tonight? Amen. Therefore, our identity is found in Christ. We are exhorted here to walk in Him. But look at verse number 2 and watch what it says. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the strength of the exhortation is seen in several facts here. The believers, they have been taught how they must walk and how they please God. Well, do you say, Pastor, how is that so? Well, it says here, the commandments which we gave you. You see, the believers have been taught how they should walk. The believers have been taught how they should please their Lord and Savior. They sat under the teaching. They sat under the preaching of the Word. Therefore, they were without an excuse, for they knew exactly how they should live their life, and they knew exactly how to please God. Therefore, you and I can't get away from this. We have to pause here for a moment, and you and I have to agree that this is why you and I are in the Word of God. This is why you and I sit under preaching. This is why you and I dive into the final authority of the Word of God. Why? Because this Bible is going to show you and I how we are to walk in Christ. Watch. I know I'm moving fast, and to be honest with you, the time change. I'm going to change the time from 8:15 to 8:05. So the pressure is on, friend, that we've got to be done at a certain time. So let's do this together. Watch now. The Word of God is going to guide you and I. Therefore, we ought not to be interested just to come into church, hang out, do our thing, sing some hymns, shake some hands, and head out the door. The ultimate goal of why you and I are here, why our teenagers are up there above the gym, why our kids are in Sunday school classes, like, the ultimate goal is so that you and I grow in our walk with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why do we walk with Him? So that you and I are more like Him. That's the ultimate goal. That's why we meet here. That's why we preach. That's why there's such an effort. Look, I'm not called to be a song leader. I'm not called to play the piano. My calling is to preach the Word of God. And it's the foolish of preachingness that is going to change the hearts and the lives of the folks in Marion County and Hendricks County and Indianapolis and the surrounding area. I'm sorry, but politics is not going to change this nation. It's going to be the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it has to be you and I diving in, coming in. It's why I'm so passionate about preaching and teaching. Even on Wednesday, I know we're all tired. Look, I'm tired tonight. I'm not now. I got a little coffee in me. Amen. But now comprehend, you and I are going to gather for what? Under the preaching. Why? Because we're being taught how to walk with Him and for Him. Look what it says in verse number 2. For ye know what commandments we gave you. Now watch what it says. By the Lord Jesus. You see, the exhortation is based on the Lord Jesus. Hold on. The exhortation was based not upon man. It wasn't based upon Paul. It wasn't based upon the apostles. Look. It's not based upon people who were with him and walked with him. No. Is what we taught you was not based on what we think or feel or say. It's not religion. It's not doing, but it's not taking us back. No. You and I have been set free. It's based on the Lord Jesus. It was what the Lord himself had taught. There was no greater authority than the Lord. He is the supreme majestic being of the universe. Therefore, the exhortation to live and to walk and to please God was with, check it out now, the highest authority. There is no greater authority outside of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you believe that, say amen tonight. There's no greater authority. That means this. Jesus' word, the Bible. Now watch, I'm not trying to step on toes tonight, but I 100% believe this. That this Bible trumps all religion. This Bible trumps all false gods. This Bible trumps self. This Bible trumps the word of man. This Bible, are you ready for this? Look, I'm not trying to be mean. This Bible trumps the feelings that you and I have. Look, it's not based upon feelings or religion or what man says or standard. It's based upon the authority of the very word of God. And this Bible, friend, is preserved in such a way that it's inerrant and it's inspired and it's going to last from generation to generation. You've been wrong and I've been wrong. We've been wrong. I've been wrong a lot. But this Bible has never been wrong, nor will it ever be. There's the exhortation, but secondly, I want us to see the instruction. I want us to see the instruction. Look at verse number 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Now pause right here. Sanctification, simply put, means moral purity. If you look it up in our English dictionary, here's basically what it means. We're looking at moral purity. It can be stated no clearer that this is the will of God. So hold on. There's no higher will. Listen, college student. There is no higher will than the will of God. When the will of God is known, then the will of God must be done. If you agree with that, say amen. If the will of God is the highest, and there's no will that's higher than His, and we know what the will of God is, then you and I, as children of the King of Kings, we must submit our thinking and our will to the very will of God. The word sanctification means, watch now, a moral purity that is set apart. It's separated. That means you and I are to be set apart to God and to His will. And watch now, what is His will? His will for you and I is moral purity. Listen, grandparents tonight. Listen, I'm raising 5 kids of my own. We have to get this evening. This must be taught to every young person that is coming up behind you and I. Moral purity is not something we can skip over or that you and I should leave to the public schools or educators of today. This is something that you and I need to be addressing. Moral purity. This means several things. Look at verse number 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Now we're going to pause right here. Let's get to the nitty gritty for a moment. Fornication. The word fornication means all kinds of immoral sexual acts. This is adultery. This is premarital sex. This is homosexuality. This is all types of forms of what you and I would call in the 21st century of sexual deviation. You see, you and I have been bought with a price. You and I, we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our Father. He is our Savior. You and I, we are His children. You and I then, as a believer of Christ, our body belongs to Christ, which means that you and I, now look, don't lose me here. You and I ought to honor God with the bodies, the vessel that Christ has given our soul to live in here on this earth. You and I, now watch now, you and I have been given this sexual drive down here on this earth. And we're to take that sexual drive and energy of our bodies and use them as God in His Word has instructed you and I to use it. That means this, there's really only two ways. Either you and I dedicate our bodies solely to Him as a single person, as the eunuchs would do, with solely giving yourself wholly 100% to Him. The other, or the latter, would be this, or we marry, we build a family with a dynamic virtue of love, care, trust, and loyalty. Those are the options. Here's the instruction that has been given. There must be an abstaining, a getting away, a abhorring, a leaving behind us this fornication. Look at verse number 4. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel, don't lose me here, in sanctification and honor. Now, sanctification means that a person knows how to control his body, but also it's a little bit deeper in this passage that it's his or her body and their spouse. You see, Leon Morris points out that the word vessel can refer to either a person's own body or a person's spouse. You see, both have a great meaning for you and I as a Christian believer. A believer is to know how to control their own body, but also the body of their spouse. You see, a person that lives as an individual, that person can neglect, they can ignore, they can abuse their own personal bodies. But they also can do that to their spouse. They can neglect, or they can ignore, or there can be an abuse that can take place to a person's spouse's body by the person that they are married to. Now watch what the Word of God says. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 3. Let the husband render unto the wife, now listen now, due benevolence. And likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife had not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband had not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one another, except it be to consent for a time that ye may give yourself to fasting and to prayer, or to come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. Now watch, neglecting or ignoring or abusing a spouse can ignite, or I'm trying to be careful of wording here because somebody might be watching live stream, so I'm just going to, we just be real careful, but let's put it this way. There has to be a time when the act of sex is together, and we understand that there is a husband and there is a wife. And what the Word of God is saying here is that there cannot be a neglect that is taking place here. Why? Because there can be a temptation if that person is abused or if that person is withheld, that they are going to drive the spouse into fornication or looking or feeling or doing something that they ought not to be involved in. Now watch now. When a person is married, they ought not to withhold. Now, I understand. I get a little bit tense when we start talking about this, but we're adults in here this evening, so let's talk biblically tonight. Comprehend this. The reason that these subjects become so uncomfortable is because the world has taken sex and they've degraded it to where Satan wants it to be. Disgusting, nasty. As Christians, we don't talk about it. But let me put it this way. As parents and adults in here tonight, we better start talking about it. Because I'm here to tell you, it is destroying our nation. It's destroying our churches. I worked with college students for 3 years. It's destroying college students. It's destroying youth groups. It's destroying marriages. Before we sit here and point our college students or our teenagers, let me put it this way, friend. Because we're not getting back to the very Word of God and addressing the problems of today, as uncomfortable as it may be, let me put it this way, because we are ignoring the problem and kicking the can down the road, friend, we are in a heap of trouble today. We're in major trouble. There's an exhortation, there's a pleading, but there's also this instruction that's taking place. Verse number 4 continues, look at it with me. It says, how to possess his vessel in sanctification and, look at the wording here, honor. Now let's pause right before this semicolon. The point is strong. It is unthinkable that a believer would engage in fornication, that they would bring dishonor to their Lord, to their Savior, to their God, but also to their spouse, to their family, and to themselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 1 says this, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Comprehend this. It dishonors God. When you and I even begin to comprehend the body of Christ being engaged in fornication, being engaged in these deviant sins, what it begins to do is it begins to tear down the body of Christ. Why? Because it dishonors God. And what dishonors God hurts the family of Christ. Comprehend, listen now, don't lose me. There has been so much time and so much effort that has been spent in the local churches trying to repair the home, trying to repair the soul, trying to repair the man or the woman, trying to repair the family that has gone off into these sins, when there is instruction that you and I ought to abstain, get away from. I don't want anything to do with it. Watch now. Now, because we've allowed it to sneak into the churches, my goodness, friend, there are souls that are dying and going to hell. And the Christian biblical counselors that were once soul winners are now putting hundreds, I'd have to ask Ms. Kim Shani, but I would say as far as thousands of hours into trying to repair the family, trying to repair the minds of our young people and husbands and wives. Why? Friend, you and I just got to comprehend this. This sin dishonors God. It hurts Him. And what hurts Him hurts us. It hurts the family of God. We mourn and we weep and we try to repair. And the day and age where we used to go out and we could sow in and we could think purely about just building the church, now much of that time, even in our independent fundamental Baptist churches, is spent trying to repair the mind, trying to repair what God designed as good and holy and good. And Adam and Eve go out and replenish the earth. And what have we done? We've turned it into something that is wicked and filthy and disgusting. It hurts the cause of Christ. The world, this message is not for the world. The world mocks it. Look at pornography, no big deal. Have a one-night stand, ha, ha, ha. Hollywood makes one-night stands look so awesome and incredible. And they always make the marriage look miserable. He's miserable. Oh, he's to live with her. She has to live with him. They have to put up with each other. They have two kids. Oh, it's so miserable. The world, they've got the concept all wrong, and they always have it wrong. But God's got it right. He's got it right. This instruction here continues. Look at verse number 5 with me. Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. Now, I want to stop here for just a moment. Now, listen. The Bible uses some strong wording here. The word lust, we understand. The lust of concupiscence. Even as the Gentiles, they don't even know God. The lust of concupiscence means a passion of lust. The wording is so strong here that it really would go as far to mean the enslaving power of lust. When a person belongs to lust, they can soon become enslaved to it. They can't get away from it. They can be held by the grip of lust to such a degree that it's almost impossible to break the bondage. There's this passion for sex, or passion for pornography, or this passion for a sexual contest, or a passion for looking or touching, or passion for romantic and immoral sins. Listen, friend, before you and I just turn this off, I've read some of these stats, but I went back and included and updated a little bit more tonight. If you think this is not a problem, friend, your head is in the sand. This is a major problem. Over 55 million Americans regularly visit a porn site every single day. There are over 370 million pages of pornography. The porn industry's annual revenue is more than the NFL, the NBA, and the Major League Baseball combined. It is also more combined revenues than ABC, CBS, and NBC. Listen to this. Don't tune out. 47% of families in the United States reported pornography is a problem in their home. Pornography use increases marital infidelity rate by more than 300%. 11 is the average age that a child is first exposed to pornography. And 94% of children will see pornography by the age, are you ready for this, of 14. 56% of American divorces involve one party having an obsessive interest in pornography or pornographic websites. 70% of Christian youth pastors report that they've had at least one teen come to them for help in dealing with pornography in the last 6 months. 68% of church-going men view porn on a regular basis. Of young Christian adults ages 18 to 24 years old, 76% actively search for porn. 59% of pastors said that married men seek their help more than any other subject, and that is for the help of pornography use. This doesn't exclude our women. 33% of women aged 25 and under search for porn at least once a month. Only 13% of self-identified Christian women say they never search for porn. That means 87% of Christian women have watched pornography. 55% of married men and 25% of married women say they watch pornography at least once a month. 57% of pastors say porn addiction is the most damaging issue. Excuse me, friend, don't you tune out and listen to this. I'm starting to get heated up. Watch now. 57% of pastors say porn addiction is the most damaging issue in their congregation. And 69% of pastors say porn has adversely impacted their church. You say, Pastor, why are we talking about this? I'm telling you why we're talking about this. Because the problem in our churches is not the dress. The problem in our churches is not the paint color. The churches in our problem is not the music or whether we should call it Sunday school or a connection group. No, no. Satan has totally dangled this carrot out there for you and I to chase and to argue over why the mind and fornication and the body and fornication, watch that, and pornography is literally destroying our homes today, friend. It's destroying it. Well, I don't think we ought to do this. I don't know, Pastor. Boy, thy word is truth. And nobody said that, so it's making it up. Well, I don't know if we should really have that black or gold, you know. Boy, if we paint it black, boy, isn't that a slippery slope? I'm telling you what's a slippery slope, friend, is that our young people and our families are being torn apart by pornography, and nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to talk about it. Well, let me tell you something, friend. This pastor's going to preach about it. And this pastor's going to get in the Word of God. And this pastor's going to continue to preach and to teach and to walk with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is so much greater than the filth that this world can give you and I. So much greater. James chapter 1 and verse number 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away from his own lust and is enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. Flee fornication. Every sin that man doeth without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Excuse me, friend. Tonight, it stops. Tonight, we're talking about it. Tonight we're preaching on it. Well, this is very uncomfortable. Yeah, let me tell you something, friend. I tell you who it's not uncomfortable for, and that's Satan. Because he's laughing as all these souls are going to hell. And he's laughing as our marriages are being busted up. And he's laughing as our teenagers are literally diving into YouTube and Instagram and TikTok and watching it every single day. That's who's laughing. Well, I'm telling you, friend, we're going to address it. We're gonna enter into 2022, and friend, parents, grandparents, college students, it's time we face this head on.
What does that mean? That means it's time to start communicating. I refuse to brush this subject under the rug. Verses 1 through 8, boy, it's awkward. Let's just move to verse 9. Sorry, friend, we're going to address it verse by verse. You know why? Because I'm tired of it. I'm tired of hearing pastors coming out of the pulpit because of immorality. I'm tired of how many times we're having to counsel adults. We're talking about grown men and grown women who know better but are addicted to this sin of pornography that don't even have time to go into because of time's sake. I'm here to tell you, more scientists have now proven it's more addicted to just about any drug that is out there on the market today. Why? It controls your mind. You need that hit over and over and over again. And let me tell you something, friend, for those of you who have been involved in it, it will totally, you write this, it will totally consume your life. Ladies and gentlemen, it'll destroy your family. And I've watched it happen over and over. Well, let me tell you something. We're putting out a beacon tonight. We're going to call on God for help. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Enough is enough. I don't know if really church is the place to talk about these things. It's called the Bible, friend. And if it's in the Word, it's exhortation, it's instruction, it's for you and it's for me. Number 3 is consequences. I'm going to put it up there. I don't have time to go through. I want to finish this whole message this evening because I don't want to do this all over again next week. But I will tell you this, we're going to see there's consequences that takes place. Some of the consequences is this. Some people never come back. Gentlemen, listen up here very carefully. You will destroy your mind, your marriage, your ministry. You'll destroy it looking at that junk on your phone. Tonight's like, we're done. Stop. Ladies, you will destroy your mind. You'll destroy your marriage. You'll destroy your family. You'll destroy everything that God has given you. Satan's not on your side. He hates you and I. Well, I'm glad. That'll never happen to me. Let me tell you something, friend. Take heed lest you fall. Nobody in here. It's everywhere. I can say this evening. There's a lot of old-timers in here tonight. Pornography used to not be accessible. You used to have to go, and it's hard to get. It was a magazine. It was up on the top shelf. I'm even told they used to put black stuff over it and would cover it up. That's the moral purity we used to live in. Not anymore, friend. It's on every single device that you and I hold in our hands. Easily accessible. Friend, it will destroy you. Pastor, what do we do? Well, friend, I pretty much set the way, but we're going to stop. I want you to understand tonight that this is not a problem that you and I should be embarrassed of. It is a sin just like any other sin. I want to say this, first of all, that right here at Cross Point Baptist Church, we love you. We want to help you. Gentlemen, ladies, don't you be embarrassed. Well, it's my teenager and, you know, they're just a kid. Let me tell you, stop. Stop. No. Let's not play that game. We're not playing Christianity. We're in a real fight. There's going to be winners. There's going to be losers. We're on the winning side, friend. If you're with me tonight, say amen. I'll play that game. You know I was proud of this last week? I don't know if it's here tonight. You know I was proud of? Was Austin on the first Sunday of the year. You know, that's a deacon's kid. His mom is on staff here. I can't believe it. I got the call and he began to tell me, Pastor, I just want to tell you. He came into the office. I want to meet with you. Met in the office. I just want to tell you I got saved. Austin, you got saved? I sure did. I didn't know. He told me the whole story. I said, man, that's awesome. I thought he was just going to tell you. He said, I want to get baptized. Oh, man, Austin, that's a great win. Can we do it this Sunday? I mean, look, that's somebody's like, I don't know for sure. I'm just going to get it right. Why don't we have that attitude tonight? I'm wrong. I'm getting it right. Tonight, let's communicate. Wives, communicate with husbands. Husbands, wives, we're here. We got a full-time staff member that, ladies, is for counseling. Set up an appointment with Kim this week. Nobody's judging. Nobody cares. We will rejoice in the Lord with you. Let me tell you something, friend. For God, you just call on Him. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Caution, you want to talk? I'm always here for you.
Deacon, you want to talk? Deacon's wife, Sunday school. Don't call us out. No, I'm talking about every person in this auditorium tonight. Tonight we address it. Let's get it right. I've got some books here, and I'm going to read these off fast. I do apologize. Not all of them are in our circle, and I try to say books that are King James, and not all of these are King James. There's other versions here used, but I'd like to say this. All of these, Pastor Dan, I'd like to put on my desk. As you walk out these doors, go straight that way. My office is right there. You never see my office? You want to look around? Go in there tonight. Look around. But I want everybody to go in there if you want to this evening. You know a Kalashuna, a friend that needs a book like this? Go in there and take a picture of it. You know a grandkid that needs it? You know a spouse? Go in there, take a picture, write these books down. But these are some books that have been a great help. Finally Free, Fighting for Purity and Power of Grace by Heath Lambert. A book I give out often called Escape, How to Have Temptation, to have victory over temptation. It's only about 70 pages long, and then there's about 6 weeks of devotions that you go through, how to overcome. This book I'm actually reading right now. It's by Mark Batterson. He's definitely not in our circle, but it's a good book. Do It for a Day, How to Make or Break Any Habit in 30 Days. Some good concepts there. This book is called Are We There Yet? By Paul and Terry Chappell. It says Marriage, A Perfect Journey for Imperfect Couples. Great book to read together. This book was given to me just not too long ago, and I've got several in my office if you'd like to get one. It's called The Death of Porn, Men of Integrity Building a World of Nobility. And this is by Ray Ortland. This is called Stop Trying, How to Receive, Not Achieve Your Real Identity. Me and several men of the church here, Derek and Dane and others, went through this book this past summer. Man, I'm telling you, you want to find your identity, your real gospel identity. This is written by Kerry Schmidt. Great book. This book is called Sacred Marriage, What God Designed in Marriage to Make Us Holy and Happy. And this is a great book, again, for couples to get together. I know this is going out on live stream. I do apologize. I don't agree with everything in these books. But, friend, I do know this. There is a book that is more powerful than any book out there. And it's called The Very Word of God. And if you and I would get our nose in this book and get our nose out of Facebook, I'm telling you, we'd see real change this year. It is time that you and I took a stand. It's time you and I start addressing. It's time that you and I, as we sang that song, Brother Ben, as soldiers of the cross, stood up, men and women, holding our banner high, marching forward, tired, fed up of the filth and the sickness and the wickedness of this world. It's time to repair our marriages. It's time to repair our minds. It's time to repair our church. It's time to move on for the glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How many are with me tonight? Would you say amen? Because there's consequences. We'll run through those quickly, and we're going to move on through the subject this next week. But I'm going to say this. Ms. Shane, I'm going to ask you to come to the platform to play for an invitation. All of these books, once again, I'm going to have Pastor Dan. They'll be in my office. Go in there if you want to sit down, look through, if you want to write some things down. You know, feel free. If it's full, wait for people to come out. No problem at all. You know a friend, you know a family, you know a neighbor, somebody who is struggling. Write one of these books down. Most of them you can order here online. I'd like to say this. Now look, and I'm moving fast and I'll be done right on time. I'd like to say this evening. If you need help, we're here to help. You give me a call, you shoot me a text. Pastor Dan, we've got our youth pastor is here, and you need help with one of your teenagers. Friend, don't keep going thinking, I can do this, I'll overcome. No, no, no. You need some accountability in your life. Get some counsel. Miss Kim is available. She can give you her hours. Miss Kim, are you here this evening? I thought you were here. Miss Kim, if you'll make yourself available at the back with Brother Sean after the evening service, run by and ask her questions. What's a good book I could read? What do you think? Counseling? What about a friend and another over here? College students, let me tell you something. Miss Kristen and Brother Ben, they're here for you. They love you. Don't you keep going each night. Diving back into that darkness. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheth me. Let these chains fall tonight. Let's be done. Let's hold our kids accountable. Get in their cell phones. Well, there's a pastor. Get in their cell phones. Well, it's their room. No, it's yours. Let's get in their life. Save their marriage. Save their purity. How do we walk in Him? Let Him show us the way. Let's get in our Bibles this year.